The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Candy this morning. Nuggets and Pelicans, less than 5 seconds to go in the second quarter. That's Brandon Ingram. He's going to lob a half-court shot. And you know what, Legler? It's going to fall.
Got to be kidding me right
there. How about that?
He could take another 100 of those. I don't know if he's making one.
No kidding, right? He didn't even believe it at first either. He walks away, hands in the air, as he should. That's a beauty. That's some beautiful eye candy for you this morning. More of that, please. All right, welcome back to Get Up, coming to you live from the Seaport, brought to you by Chase. It's time to get up with Katie and Kyrie Irving. They reunited in Boston, but you know who it was? It was Jason Tatum who stole the show. Are the sub-500 Nets now in big trouble? Plus, Aaron Rodgers kind of running out of time to make the most important decision of the NFL offseason. Is he going to stay or is he going to go? Our NFL insider is going to have the very latest on Rodgers. And a desperate LeBron James went off this weekend against Golden State. Can he single-handedly turn the Lakers' future around? There's not a lot of time, but the only person that could do it is LeBron. All right, let's start, though, with what we saw yesterday in the game of the day. Kevin Durant and the Nets taking on Jason Tatum and the Celtics. Third quarter, and the Celtics trailing by two here, Legs. But Jason Tatum, man, all day long.
Yeah, remember a couple years ago before the league shut down, Jason Tatum was playing the best offensive basketball of his career. He has dialed it back to that right now. Had the three-point shot going, and that makes him unguardable.
So fourth quarter now, game tied at 95. Tatum again here. He's going to drive to the rim, get a nice little layup. Tatum now at this point with 41. We go to later in the fourth. Nets are down eight, and that's Durant. A couple mid-range jumpers there were good for him.
Yeah, good luck trying to stop that. Kevin Durant, no player in the history of this league has had this combination of length, handle, and shooting ability. Kevin Durant and Tatum really going back and forth at each other. And this is where Tatum's gotten better. His ability to have a counter move to anything, splits the trap, and then finishes with contact at the rim.
Okay, so here we go. Just under 2 minutes left. Nets down three. Kyrie Irving now. Nice pump, hits the mid-range fadeaway. Irving would finish with 19 points, but it was not enough. Next Celtics possession, a minute 30 remaining. Celtics leading by one. You know who that is. More Jason Tatum. He would finish with 54 points. Ties Larry Bird for the most 50-point games in Celtics history, and they get the W.
It's easy to be concerned. It's easy to be worried and pissed off and mad. It's easy to do that. We could point fingers and, you know, blame our season on other things, but let's just go play. We got another game. We got 17 more, and let's see what happens.
All right, so at this point, Legler, a little hustle on over here.
Yeah, do it.
The Nets, one game under 500. Yeah. Things not looking good. Kevin Durant back from injury, but they're 0-2 since he returned. Obviously, you don't have Kyrie Irving full-time. Is it time to hit the panic button?
Definitely not. There's too much there that hasn't been unwrapped yet with this team. And look, you just got KD back. You see where he's at right now. He's just going to pick up where he's always been. But for me, the bigger thing is you're going to add Ben Simmons to the mix. You just added two other starters who are getting used to playing together. Kyrie Irving is still not playing every night. So this team still has so much more on the table. But for me, when I look at what Kevin Durant did, he reminds me of something. This is the only guy in the league that you cannot force into a bad possession if he's on the floor, because there's no shot that's a low percentage shot for Kevin Durant. The handle, the length, the shooting ability, his ability to get to the line when he needs to. Kevin Durant being on this level gives the Nets a chance. I'm not ready to write them off by a long stretch. I don't care where they are right now in the standings. If he's back, healthy, stays back, they're going to add Ben Simmons to the mix here, and he gives them a couple of really key components. You cannot write this team off yet. I don't care where they finish. They're absolutely still in the mix as a team that could come out of the East.
Okay, but you mentioned Ben Simmons. The problem is, according to Woj, he told us yesterday, we don't know when Ben Simmons is going to be back. We thought maybe it would be by Thursday so he could face his former team in the 76ers. Woj tells us no shot, not happening. So what can we expect from Ben Simmons eventually when we do see him on the court?
I knew we weren't going to see Ben Simmons in Philadelphia. I don't care how he's feeling physically or mentally. I knew that was not happening. I'm not even sure he's going to want to see them in the playoffs in that building. But listen, here's the thing. At some point, I know he's under an awful lot of pressure, and he's brought it upon himself, but here's what he will bring immediately. He's going to bring pace to their offense, which they need, but more importantly, he brings the length in a defender that you need against guys like Jason Tatum. Look at who was guarding Tatum yesterday. These guys are good defenders, particularly Bruce Brown, but he's my size. Seth Curry is my size. Jason Tatum is too long to be guarded by guys in that category physically. You added Ben Simmons to the mix, he guards a Tatum, he guards a Jimmy Butler, he guards a James Harden, a Chris Middleton, a Giannis. You bring in a 6'10 defender that's one of the best in the league, he immediately makes you better. And you don't need to run plays for Ben Simmons. You've got to incorporate him with guys, but his impact will be felt immediately whenever he hits the court. That's another reason why I think the Nets are very much in this.
Okay, I don't mean to bring up old stuff, Tim Legler, but wasn't it you that said he absolutely has to play on Thursday against the 76ers, that he is necessary for the operation? And now, how are they going to establish any chemistry with only 17 games left on the season?
Well, listen, here's what I said. I said it's amazing how far the analytics have come, because now they can tell you to the minute when you're going to be ready to play. And I said he's going to be ready to play at 10:15 p.m. on March 10th. Right after that game ends, Ben Simmons is going to be physically ready to play again.
That's what I'm saying.
Now, listen, if they meet in the playoffs, he's not going to have a choice. Some point, you got to get it over with, and you got to step in that building in Wells Fargo. I've lived in that area a long time. They are waiting for the moment for Ben Simmons to arrive, but it's not going to be on March 10th, and I never considered for a second that we were going to see him that night.
10:15 was the keynote there. All right,
exactly.
Tim Legler, thank you. We'll see you a little bit later on. Let's turn now back to the NFL. We are awaiting the decision of one Aaron Rodgers. The Packers, one day away from the NFL franchise tag deadline, and must also decide on the future of their star wide receiver. Maybe you know who he is. His name is Davante Adams, but perhaps you're asking yourself, well, where is Aaron Rodgers? Let me tell you where he is. Somewhere near Santa Barbara, officiating the wedding of Packers offensive lineman David Bakhtiari. Matt LaFleur reportedly also in attendance. These are the priorities of one Aaron Rodgers while we're all sitting here on the edge of our seat wondering, is he going to stay in Green Bay or is he going to be on the move to somewhere else? Here we are back talking about the NFL. And so, Jeremy Fowler, I know you were at the Combine all weekend, but perhaps you could shed some light on when Aaron Rodgers is going to make a decision.
Yeah, well, Davante Adams needs to be franchise tagged in the next 36 hours. So the expectation is Rodgers will hopefully give some clarity during that window so the Packers can do some of their official business. But here's the thing. I've been asking around on this a bunch. I was told the Packers have made a significant long-term contract offer for Rodgers. They are all in on keeping him. Some other teams are as well. Denver is believed to be all in, willing to do whatever it takes, compensation-wise, contract-wise, to try to figure this out and get Rodgers in that uniform. But here's the thing. The Packers don't want to trade Aaron Rodgers. I talked to a source who said he might have to retire if he wants to be out of a Green Bay uniform because of all that we're going to require to get him. We're talking premium draft picks, potentially young players on rookie contracts that are really good. So that could cripple the team trying to acquire him.
Okay, so you're telling me we might have a decision in the next 36 hours. What on earth are we going to talk about if we have a decision in the next 36 hours? Okay, Dan,
Cowboys.
Let's go to you here. Does it feel selfish at all, though, for how long this has taken? Remember, Rodgers promised us this wouldn't be long and drawn out, and it feels like it is.
No, it's been 43 days since they lost at home to the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah.
It's been 43 days. There is a reason why the teams and the NFL calendar is set up that after the season, it goes a little bit quiet because everybody exhausts themselves for 6 months to try and go achieve the ultimate goal of a championship. This isn't selfish. Aaron Rodgers has earned the right to sit there after this season and to take some time to make the decision that he wants to make. It is not his job to do the organization's job. It's the organization to plan for the future and to plan multiple options given what his multiple choices could be. It is the general manager, Brian Gutekunst, it's his job for the Green Bay Packers to sit down and figure out, okay, if Aaron Rodgers comes back and tells us he wants to be a Packer, what are the next steps after that to make sure that we have him and also a championship caliber team? It's his job to sit there and say, okay, if Aaron says he wants to go play elsewhere, what are the necessary steps to make sure that that happens? That's not Aaron Rodgers' job.
Interesting. So it sounds like you disagree with our one Mike Tannenbaum, huh?
Oh, snap.
Surprise.
Look at that smile.
And look who that is right there. That would be one Mike
Tannenbaum.
You could go ahead. Go off, Mike T.
Come on, big fella.
He didn't need 43 days. He only needed 43 minutes. This is the textbook definition of being selfish. And here's why. his actions are impacting others. Specifically, does Davante Adams get a long-term deal? Is Preston Smith there? Is Billy Turner there? Is Za'Darius Smith there? In a salary cap system, when one person is going to take so much of the pie, which Dominic Foxworth did a great job negotiating when he was part of the NFLPA, by definition, his actions impact others. Brian Gutekunst has done a great job being prepared, but he needs to know, is he going down one road or the other? Remember, Drew Brees, the last 4 years with the Saints, they had the best record in the NFL because they pushed cap charges out. If Aaron Rodgers is not there, they're going to cut Preston Smith, they're going to cut Za'Darius Smith, and they're going to start over. He's a great player. He deserves every dollar he wants. But in this case, he is 1,000% selfish. Let's be really clear about that, because he's taking money out of his teammates' hands. From Indianapolis.
Stop it.
Deals are getting done or not done. DeMarcus Lawrence was just offered a pay cut. He may or may not be there. Players are negotiating. Agents are negotiating with teams right now. So he needs to make a decision. There's nothing, guys, he's going to know on March 8th, 9th, or 10th that he doesn't know today on March 7th.
I mean, he might feel differently. Don't try to name drop me like I'm on your side, because you're talking complete foolishness. If you got a problem with Aaron Rodgers, cut him. You got an issue with him, cut him then. Like, he has this leverage. He has the ability to do that. As a player association man myself, I believe that any player who has the leverage should utilize that leverage in as any way they see fit. And also, it's better for everyone, because Aaron Rodgers needs to take the time and decide what he wants to do. What's bad for them is rushing into a decision that Aaron Rodgers then realizes is the wrong decision. Having an unhappy Aaron Rodgers is not good for them, or having Aaron Rodgers not want to be there is not good for him, or having him decide that he wants to go somewhere else and then wish he had stayed back in Green Bay is not good for them. The best thing for everyone involved is for Aaron Rodgers to take his time and make the decision whenever the hell he wants to make his decision.
My guy.
So wait. There's a big difference between getting exactly as much money as you want, which he can make $50, $60 million. I agree with that. But this is the textbook definition of being selfish, because
not,
by him taking
it's
time,
you are
it's impacting
biased.
Other
Stop
players.
Stop being a lazy general manager. Do your job,
I'm not
GM.
Being a lazy general manager.
Think of contingency plans.
And here's what I
That's it.
And here's, hey, guys, let me take you behind the scenes on how I would negotiate with him. Aaron, it's a blank check. If you want $40 million, all these guys come back. At $50 million, Za'Darius Smith graduates. At $60 million, Devondre Campbell's gone. Preston Smith's gone. Billy Turner's gone. So you get as much as you want. You are a great player. Outside Patrick Mahomes, you're the greatest player in the sport. I am fine with that. But let's not sit here and say he's not selfish.
That's
because no, he is selfish because he's taking as much of the pie as he wants, which is fine. But he needs to let them know so these other players can get on with their business and maximize their position.
Okay, are the Green Bay Packers a championship-caliber football team with Aaron Rodgers next year, yes or no?
I like the beard pit. I like that.
1,000%.
Are they a championship-caliber football team without Aaron Rodgers?
No.
So you wait on Aaron Rodgers. And you wait on Aaron Rodgers to make his decision. Hold on. You wait on Aaron Rodgers to make his decision. My second thing is this. You say that his decision-making is impacting others. I agree. So does his play. A lot of those people down that football team have a job because he's so stinking good. The third thing would be this. Aaron Rodgers can't give them a decision, Mike T, unless they've gone through the process of creating some cap space, right? And so that's why they've had to go through those necessary processes. No, of having those conversations with people and creating the cap space that is going to be necessary to not only re-sign Aaron Rodgers for the value that his play has earned, but also to make sure that you tag a player like Davante Adams. That was a necessary – Aaron Rodgers could not give them his decision until that step of this process was made.
Dan, you have it all backwards. We are not debating if he's a great player. We are debating whether or not he's being selfish. If we go back to Drew Brees, we have the blueprint here. He went first. They lowered his cap charge. They push out cap charges to the future. And they could pay Aaron Rodgers $50, $52 million a year and bring back the core. The fact that he hasn't made a decision by March 7th is by textbook selfish, because it's impacting his other teammates.
He needs to let them know what he's going to do. I don't like these two former players ganging up on my Mike T. So we're going to leave this right here. Mike T, I appreciate you jumping in here to set the record straight. Coming up, the Cowboys. Cowboys facing big decisions in Dallas. What does the expected loss of one of their biggest weapons mean for Dak Prescott next season? Plus, is it poor play or is it something else that is causing the whole Colts to think twice about Carson Wentz thing? Is he still even a starter? Talk about it next on Get Up. To your wake-up call, we'll start with college basketball here. Tulsa hosting UCF, and Tulsa trailing by two with less than 3 seconds remaining is where we're going to pick this thing up here. And John Schriffen and Perry Clark here on the call.
And he misses. Horn's got to go. 2 seconds on the clock. Last second, he...
Oh! Oh, my
oh,
God!
You did!
I told you, would that be special? Would that be special?
How do you even write a script like this?
You can't.
No, you can't write a script like that because we are 6 days away from Selection Sunday. Can't wait for some March Madness. All right, let's get to quarterback quick reads. Here with Dan Orlowski, we'll start with a free agent quarterback getting a lot of buzz, and that would be Mitchell Trubisky, Dan.
Yeah, I think Mitchell Trubisky deserves another opportunity to be a starter in the NFL. The thing that I think is the best fit would be the Washington Commanders because I think it gives them a guy that has physical talent, that has learned a lot, but also the opportunity that if they still want to draft somebody in the first round in this rookie class, they can. But Mitchell Trubisky's too talented for him not to have learned under Brian Daboll in Buffalo and become a better player because of it. Russell Wilson. Listen, I think it's best for Russell Wilson to not be in Seattle. There are multiple teams that make a ton of sense for him. The Cleveland Browns, if they decide to move on from Baker Mayfield, and the scheme fit would be fantastic. The Tennessee Titans, Bruce Arians in the offense with Byron Leftwich down in Tampa Bay and some of their skill talent. Russell Wilson is a quarterback that around the right people and protection is going to be a superstar performance-wise. And then Carson Wentz. Candidly, the best spot for him is Indianapolis. I still believe that under Frank Reich, that is his best fit. I still believe that because of the offensive line and hopefully some added pieces, if they add to their skill talent, you have a top 10 to top 12 player at the position. If it's not Indy, I can see Tampa Bay entertaining bringing him in because he fits what Bruce Arians and Byron Leftwich want to naturally do, which is push the football downfield.
All right. Thank you, Dan. Let's bring back in here Jeremy Fowler, because as we sit here and we talk about the Colts and what they're going to do with Carson Wentz and at that quarterback situation, what's the very latest?
Well, I'm told that Carson Wentz has not received any clarity on his future from the team. He does want to stay in Indianapolis. He wants to see it through. He believes they have built something, has gotten along with his teammates. Indianapolis' silence here has been deafening. I mean, I think it says a lot that they have not received any sort of clarity, painted a picture of what they want to do. But he's got $15 million in guaranteed money on the books. They gave up the first and the third round pick to get him. That money turns into $22 million here at the around the start of the new league year. So major decisions for Indy, but there is no clarity coming out of the combine, no real momentum that a trade is happening.
And let's just say this, right? Carson Wentz, weeks 1 through 15, at a top 5 QBR in the National Football League. It was the end of the season where the wheels started to fall off and why we're even having this conversation. Dan, back to you here. Why are the Colts going to give up on Carson Wentz? I know you think, candidly, he should stay in Indianapolis, but it feels like there's a lot of people outside of you that don't believe that.
Yeah, I think the reality is that it seems the Colts are more disappointed in the person than they are the player. You know, we've talked about Carson Wentz as a player, and some of the statistics say that for the most part of the season, he was a top 10 player, top 5 for a 12-week stretch, and the Colts were 9-3 in that stretch. The only two guys that were better QBR-wise were Aaron Rodgers and Justin Herbert. That doesn't happen by mistake. It doesn't happen by accident over 12 weeks. But it seems like they want a leader that is different. And when I hear Chris Ballard, their general manager, who's not a general manager that's not thought of in incredibly high regard. Like, he is well respected in the NFL, Chris Ballard. He's not making this decision just emotionally. And when he says that they're going to make the best decision for them now in the future, when I hear the future, it makes me believe that Carson Wentz off the field or as a leader and or person doesn't match the person that's on the field. Because it's really hard. And maybe I sit here by myself on this Carson Wentz hill. It's really hard for me to sit there and think that there's available options that are incredibly better performance-wise than Carson Wentz outside of Russell and Aaron. And so that's why I think that they're more disappointed in the day-to-day person in the locker room leader. He must be, I don't want to be a jerk. It just must, it seems like he must be a dud in the locker room for them to give up what they gave up for him and then also to have the performance on the field and go, nope, it's time for us to move on.
So I raised my hand because I'm one of those people that think that the Colts probably will be better off without Carson Wentz. It's not just anybody. I agree with Dan. It might be hard to find someone as talented as Carson Wentz, but with a roster like that, they don't need someone as talented as Carson Wentz. They need someone who's more reliable and more consistent. I think that's what's more disappointing than anything. Not the heights that Carson can reach, because I remember the Arizona game, he was making passes that only like four or five other quarterbacks in the league can make. The problem is that what comes along with those heights is some pretty low lows, and we're looking at those right now. I think that's really frustrating for a roster that is built, frankly, around a great offensive line, an awesome running back, and a really aggressive, talented defense. And they want a quarterback who's going to step in there and manage things. And maybe every now and then we're going to ask you to be special, but don't try to do too much. And I think that's the Carson Wentz. That's the challenge that they find themselves in with Carson Wentz. Is sometimes he can do a lot, and sometimes him doing too much is the problem.
Yeah, I think you are just one of those people, and I love you, that just look at him through a single vantage point of when he's at his worst. And I think your point of the Tennessee clip that we saw, your point of the Tennessee clip is fair, but you mentioned consistency. I mean, 27 touchdowns and 7 picks is a relatively consistent performance. We don't talk about the Baltimore game when he played at a very high level and their defense gave up a comeback against Lamar. We don't talk about the Tampa Bay game when they couldn't stop anybody in the second half. We don't talk about the Arizona game when he's fantastic. Listen, the first three games of the season, and these are just realities. The first three games of the season were coming off of the preseason when he didn't play because of the injury. And the last 2 weeks were when he had COVID. And so I'm not getting, those are realities. We can't ignore the performance in the heart of the season. And I would tell you this, Dom, the offensive line's not a good pass protection unit. It's a great run unit. It's not good in pass protection. Their receivers are bottom five. So I just look at him in the body of work rather than when he's at his worst moments.
So the point is, touchdown to interception is not a consistency stat. Like, that doesn't speak to the variance of performance. That's a cumulative stat. So you could have 27 touchdowns in one game and then spread out the interceptions throughout the rest. So it doesn't speak to his consistency. And the consistency is over the course of not just this year. And also, I did bring up the Arizona issue, but I do think that we all have to accept that Carson Wentz is a boom or bust player. Yeah, this is who he is.
Yeah, the Colts last year had the fourth easiest schedule in the NFL, too. So it's only going to get worse for that team if he does decide to stay in Indianapolis. Coming up, the Cowboys facing some big decisions. What does the expected loss of one of their biggest weapons mean for their quarterback, Dak Prescott? Plus, oh, what a weekend for the King and LeBron James. Can his desperation win on Saturday night be a turning point for the Lakers this season? You're watching Get Up.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Welcome back to Get Up. All right, time for a little sneaky hembo here. This one's for you, Legs. Who is the active leader in career 50-point games? Sit on it. Think about it. I'll come back to you in a little bit with an answer, okay? Don't think too hard, though. All right, let's run the hurry up now with Jeremy Fowler, and we start with big news for Patrick Mahomes.
Yes, it's franchise tag season. Orlando Brown, offensive tackle, the first one on the board, first one to be tagged. Could be six or seven more around the league, but when the Chiefs traded for Orlando Brown last offseason, it was with the expectation that they would tag him in 2022, so that is now done. Watch for wide receiver. You got Chris Godwin with the Bucs, Mike Williams with the Chargers. Both players are one to be be very much kept by their current teams might need the tag to secure that as a placeholder to a long-term deal. Let's go to Russell Wilson. I continue to hear from sources close to the team and Wilson that they don't expect a trade this offseason largely, but teams will keep calling. Maybe that will change. Denver could be a prime target because if the Broncos have to pivot to Wilson after losing out on Rodgers potentially, I'm told that Wilson could be open to a good team on the West Coast with a good foundation, winning culture, and a good roster, maybe more so than like the NFC East, which needs quarterback help.
Yeah.
Now let's pivot to Amari Cooper. Situation right now is he has not been released, but is likely to be released per our Adam Schefter. And the Cowboys are trying to work out their business here because he's got a $22 million cap hit. I'm told it is strictly a business decision to potentially move on from him. They love the player, love his fit in the offense, his relationship with Dak Prescott. It's just they have to create cap space. This is a team with 25 free agents, two of which they really want to keep as franchise-type cornerstones in tight end Dalton Schultz, pass rusher Randy Gregory. In order to do so, they have to move some money around. That's the reality of the business. I'm told the Cowboys are as locked in as they've been in a long time to try to retain players.
Interesting. Okay, well, in terms of Amari Cooper, obviously, you have, when talented, a very loaded wide receiver room. So, Dan, do you think the Cowboys better off without Amari Cooper, or is this going to come back to bite them eventually?
No, I think the Cowboys offensively are better off without Amari Cooper, and I think two things could be true. Amari Cooper's a really good player, but they just play better when they have two tight ends on the field and 12 personnel, one back, two tight ends, and I think Dalton Schultz is a big part of that. When they play Dalton Schultz and Blake Jarwin in 12 with both those guys on the field, they're technically the third best offense in the NFL no matter who they play against. And that's behind Baltimore, who has the most unique 12 package in the NFL, and then New England with two $50 million receivers. Dak Prescott was the best quarterback in football with throwing to tight ends last year, and his connection with Dalton Schultz was the best quarterback to receiving target connection in the NFL. I want everyone to really look at that and see the names. Tom Brady to Mike Evans, those are two Hall of Famers. Matthew Stafford and Cooper Kupp, one Hall of Famer and one the greatest single receiver for a wide receiver ever. Dak Prescott to Dalton Schultz last year was better than that. I think they're better when those two tight ends are on the field.
Nate, do you agree with what Dan's saying, or do you think it's going to come back to bite the Cowboys?
First, I love you slipping in that one Hall of Famer on Matt Stafford. That's outstanding work there. But I do think that 12 personnel can include also two receivers. So assuming that Amari Cooper isn't a part of those 12 personnel packages that they were successful with is kind of, I think, a faulty conclusion to make. But I do think that they are fine without Amari Cooper going forward. I understand Dan's point, but the amount of attention that Dalton Schultz receives is impacted by the fact that in that 12 personnel, they had Amari Cooper on one side and CeeDee Lamb on the other side. It makes life a little bit easier in the middle of the field. So Dalton Schultz can step up going forward, but they might be asking a lot more of him if they're going to move on from Amari Cooper, which I think was always part of the plan. When they got CeeDee Lamb, I think they had determined that he was going to be the number one option as soon as the time came. So now it's time. The time has come, and now they're going to have to move on and put that Amari Cooper money elsewhere.
Okay, so we'll find out where Amari Cooper does land because it sounds like the Cowboys are moving on here, Jeremy. So if you could lay out what the Cowboys offseason, I'm going to ask you to look into your crystal ball just a little bit here, but what does the landscape of this Cowboys offseason look like?
Yeah, well, quick calculation for the Cowboys. If Amari Cooper costs $20 million, they can keep Dalton Schultz for $10.8 million on the franchise tag, and they can re-sign Michael Gallup to a deal not even close to Amari Cooper's $20 million number. So you almost get a two-for-one situation. They want to keep the defense together. They got Randy Gregory. They got Jayron Kearse, the safety. They could re-sign, and their offensive line is getting older. They could add a piece there, too.
Yeah, well, if they kept Dan Quinn and now keep that defense, good things could be happening in Dallas, hopefully, coming up this season. Let's run the floor now and go to the NBA. We start with the Celtics and the Nets. What a game yesterday. The Nets, a season high, 54 points they gave up to one Jason Tatum. It was his fourth career 50-point game, tying Larry Bird for the most in franchise history. The Nets have now lost 17 of their last 20, falling to one game under 500. That is not good, folks. The Bucks beat the shorthanded Suns in a finals rematch thanks to 44 points from one Chris Middleton. Jrue Holiday added 24, 17 of which came in the fourth quarter. DeAndre Ayton scored 30 points for the Suns, who continue to be without Chris Paul and Devin Booker. And on Saturday night, LeBron James in his bag, 56 points in a win over the Warriors, his single game high since he joined the Lakers. And after the game, LeBron was asked to describe his mindset as the Lakers try and make a playoff push.
Desperation. I mean, had a four-game losing streak. Obviously, our season has been up and down, but I would say desperation and inspiring. We're playing inspired basketball versus a really good team. We needed this win, for sure.
right now, I don't give a damn about the 56. I'm just happy we got a win. That's just literally the first thing that came to my mind. You know, and we needed, you know, pretty much all of them.
All right, so Jalen Rose here with us now. And so the Lakers snap a four-game losing streak. Maybe your opinion has changed now about the Lake Show after what LeBron James did on Saturday night.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Good morning. Here's how I feel about the Lakers, right? When you have LeBron James and his potential to have a night like he had the other night, 56 points and 10 rebounds, by the way, against a Golden State Warriors team who has been recently reeling, and you have the potential of Anthony Davis returning. He's a top 10 player when he's healthy. Legs, correct me if I'm wrong. If the Lakers go into a series, say, for example, against the Memphis Grizzlies, I feel like they'll have two of the best three players in the series, which means it's gonna be a long series. So therefore, for the Lakers, all you gotta do is stay the course, ride LeBron James, hope you can get some quality minutes from Russell Westbrook and the rest of the guys, Malik Monk in particular, and then see if you can get AD back, force your way into a play-in, and all of a sudden you get a chance to play against a squad like Memphis, who's a young playoff team, they will be, and obviously the Golden State Warriors, depending on their health with Draymond Green and the productivity of Klay Thompson.
Yeah, Jalen, I agree that if you get Memphis, I think you've got a shot. Like, I'm just not that I don't believe in them, but they're a very young team going through it with those kind of expectations for the first time in the postseason against a Lakers team who at that point would have gotten into the play-in, survived the play-in, had more games under the belt with Anthony Davis, and as you said, now you've got two legitimate stars to play against in that series. But I don't think they're beating a Golden State team that I think is about 60% of what they could be when they get all their guys back and Klay Thompson at some point finds his rhythm, which we know he will, or even the Phoenix Suns getting a healthy Chris Paul back. So I think the best case for the Lakers is you survive the play-in and you lose in the first round in probably six games to either of Phoenix or Golden State, or potentially have even a longer series against Memphis and maybe even survive that series. But I just don't look at them and say, this is a legitimate threat to win it all. And main reason for me, I just don't think they're good enough defensively, even when you get Anthony Davis back. I just don't think this is a team that instills fear in anybody on that end of the floor.
Man, I hope John Morant's listening to you two. Just doubt the Grizzlies left and right. All right, let's
Shay, throwing flamethrowers at me.
What the heck is that about?
I love
you
it.
And Jalen.
Hype it up.
Jalen, let's talk about Russell Westbrook, because he had 20 on Saturday, right, to go along with what LeBron James did. Maybe if they found a recipe for success with Westbrook?
I don't think so. I think when Anthony Davis is out, you get a chance to play what we call junk lineups. LeBron James playing the five, Russell Westbrook can kind of just be out there, not necessarily being the primary ball handler. When Russell Westbrook is at his best, he needs the basketball, and he needs to dominate the basketball. That allows him to get a rhythm to play at his maximum. When LeBron James has the basketball, that means Russ is off the ball. He's not a spot-up shooter. He's not going to do much cutting, and so he can't be as effective. His game has to be energy. And when we're talking about the top teams in the West, let me tell you what they actually really need from Russ. Defense at the point of attack. The top teams in the West have the backcourt of CP3 and Devin Booker in Phoenix. You have the Splash Brothers and the Golden State Warriors. And you just mentioned Ja Morant. So if you're going to be the Lakers and you're finding yourselves in positions to try to play in, to try to advance in the playoffs, you have to play better defensively. That also is something that falls on Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, listen, Russell Westbrook, and Jalen, you mentioned it, he's never been a guy that's a high-efficiency shooter. He's a better shooter when he's got the ball in his hands the entire game, the way that he did basically his entire career. So this is a different lane for him. And as a result, when you don't play free of mind that you can just go attack a guy that's not a pure shooter, now it's going to be very difficult to ever find that rhythm. So I think if they stagger the minutes, he's got a better chance to be effective. I think defensively they are clearly going to have issues. And I think what LeBron James did on Saturday, and Jalen, you and I were both in the building, and it was phenomenal. It was a vintage moment. It was roll back the clock. Man, that was fun. But let's not get caught up in the fact that he took 31 shots. He took 11 threes. Yeah. It's like when you open that drawer, right, and you find that T-shirt that you love so much, and it was hidden in the bottom of the drawer, and you put it on, and you wore that shirt, and it felt so good that day, and you wore it the next day. At some point, it's going back in a hamper, and you're going to have to go wash it again. And I think that's what it is for the Lakers. That's not sustainable to play that kind of way and expect LeBron James to play like that offensively to carry this team. Now, let's see what happens when AD gets back and we'll have a better definitive conclusion. But it's hard. It's a reach for me right now to think they're going to go from this to a team that could potentially make a run at the finals.
Okay, so maybe LeBron James picked up the phone and called Jason Tatum and said, I dropped 56. What can you do on Sunday? And then he went and did that, and it resulted in a Nets loss. So let's focus here on the Nets, because why not here? Jalen, do you think it's time to hit the panic button in Brooklyn?
I do, and let me tell you why. Legs just alluded to it with the Lakers. You have to respect the game and the journey. Now, I get blinded like everybody else by Kevin Durant, who's going to be top two or three player on anybody's list, and also Kyrie Irving, who's an unstoppable scorer when he gets going. But I also appreciate the Miami Heat's consistency, and they're still the number one seed. The Milwaukee Bucks are the defending champions. The Philadelphia 76ers added James Harden to go with an MVP-level Joel Embiid. DeMar DeRozan is also playing at an MVP level, and the young Cleveland Cavaliers are ascending. It's hard for me to look at the Nets, who Ben Simmons hasn't played with the team just yet, and figure that they're going to leapfrog so many teams, win twice to get into the play-in, and knock off one of the top teams in the Eastern Conference. So therefore, this looks like an early exit for the Nets to me today, and that's what's so intriguing about the Eastern Conference. It's so many great storylines, yet we're talking about a Nets team with Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and Ben Simmons on the roster, yet they're one of the worst teams in the entire NBA.
Listen, the panic button is close by. It's like right over here, but I'm not ready to press it just yet. And here's why, Jalen.
Agreed.
Kevin Durant is the one guy that I watch and say there really is no answer for him in terms of defensive personnel, defensive scheme, where you want to send him to a weak spot. He doesn't have any. So he's got an answer at all times. And we see how good he is after missing all this time. So he's there. He's ready. The Kyrie Irving factor is a big one, obviously. If you don't get him at some point every night, then forget it. It's a wrap. You're going to have that. But here's where the Ben Simmons factor for me is big. And we know he's got a lot of pressure on him. There's a lot of doubts about what we're going to see. But there's two areas he helps immediately. First day he steps on the floor, that is pace, which they need. And then more importantly, how much he's going to do for them defensively with his length and the guys he will have to guard and the teams they're going to have to beat. And yesterday was a great example. Jason Tatum was operating against guys 6'4" and under. He's going to do what he wants with guys like that in his mid-range and his deep game. Ben Simmons answers that. He answers when you have to guard a Jimmy Butler, a James Harden, potentially a Giannis, a Chris Middleton. All of those guys he's going to have to see, a DeMar DeRozan. He's going to have an answer for. So I think Ben Simmons will have an immediate impact without really having to have a rhythm offensively, because he doesn't need that. He's a playmaker. He creates pace and he guards everybody on the floor. And you've got Kevin Durant. That's why I'm not ready to say it's a wrap on the Nets yet. I still think they're in the mix.
Okay, well, I will say this. If today the Hawks beat the Pistons and the Nets slip to 10th in the East, that is not good news. Jalen Rose, thanks so much for the insight. We'll talk to you later. Let's go back to this sneaky Hembo situation, and this was for you, Legs. I gave you some time to think about it now. The active leader in career 50-point games. I wanted to think about it and not look at the answer, and then I realized I'm horrendous at trivia, so I'll defer to you. Who you got?
I told you Hembo was shady. I never liked that guy. I said it from the day I met him. He tries to bring people out here and embarrass them. I could have cheated. I had time to look this up. I decided I wasn't going to. I only cheat in board games, occasionally in crossword puzzles. Not going to cheat. I'm going to go with James Harden just because of the run he had in Houston, which was unprecedented offensively, really.
You would be correct. James Harden is the answer with 23. Behind him is LeBron James with 13. Not even close.
I actually thought I missed that. I really did.
No.
I thought that was the best guess I could come up with.
You guessed right. All right, coming up, time running out on Aaron Rodgers making perhaps the biggest decision of this NFL offseason. When is it going to come, and could he be headed west? We'll talk about it next on Get Up.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Well, looky, looky here. Looks like Marcus Spears is jumping on the Shea Cornette Mike Tannenbaum bandwagon. Look at him tweeting out, Dan and Foxy love Aaron Rodgers this morning at Get Up ESPN. It is selfish, period, to make us all wait like this. So, guys, what do you have to say for yourselves? Look at Marcus Spears, one of your own, going against you.
Disappointed. It's okay. I mean, we're all wrong every now and then. Some of us make mistakes, and this is a mistake that Marcus made this morning. He'll learn. He'll grow and get better from it. It's fine. We believe in him. We trust him.
Yesterday on the plane with my wife, I watched my first episode of Friends ever, and I saw this move. That's what I say to Marcus Spears right now, and I know what that means. Shay, for you to clump yourself with Mike T is also a mistake. The first time that you are hosting Get Up with Dom and I on the show together, you have now drawn a line in the sand.
I do feel like it's selfish. Had he not told me he wasn't going to take this much time, I wouldn't care. But don't tell me something and do something different. That's where I'm angry.
You got levers. If you got a problem with Aaron Rodgers, the way he's behaving, go ahead and pull one of them levers. Cut that man. Otherwise,
See, Neek, it doesn't have to be so black and white. Like, he's like, if you've got a problem with, why can't I be angry with the way he's handling his decision-making? I don't have to cut him because I'm annoyed.
Y'all the one that's name-calling, calling the man selfish for taking the time that's allotted to him to make this decision. Like, to me, that feels like it's a little bit too black and white also. Let's just get along and let Aaron Rodgers throw some touchdowns. He has a history of making some questionable decisions. This one happens to be a good one.
Here would be my thought process on this. To say he's being selfish would be implying that there has been no form of communication between the player and the organization. I believe that Aaron Rodgers sat down at the end of the season, which was 43 days ago, and told them, I'm going to take a week or two off, okay? Like, I'm going to get away from the game.
6 weeks.
And then I've got some stuff that I've got to handle. When do you need my decision by? I'm going to officiate David Bakhtiari's wedding. Brian Gutekunst, when do you need my decision by? Hey, by the way, before I make a decision, I need to know how much cap space is available. I need to know if we're going to be able to tag Davante Adams. Because the last thing would be for Aaron Rodgers 3 weeks ago to say I'm coming back, and then for them not to be able to tag Davante Adams. I disagree that there needs to be a process, Aaron Rodgers first, and then the steps. I think the steps need to happen for them to allow his input to be factored into the team building. For him to look at the football team and say, this is a team that I think I can play well for and win a Super Bowl with, yes, I will then come back.
Jeremy, Dan's over here making me believe that 43 days is not a long period of time. However, hopefully we have a decision now in something that is a short period of time, which is 48 hours, perhaps 36 hours. Maybe that's when we'll know something.
Well, the Packers have about 36 hours to franchise tag Davante Adams. The expectation is that they will, whether Aaron Rodgers is in the fold or not. I've checked around on this, and I was told from a source that it is a logical conclusion that a player of his magnitude you keep regardless. So we're talking about $20-plus million on a franchise tag for Adams. And so it's a safe bet he'll be there. He's not going to be happy about it. This is a guy who could make $25 to $30 million per year maybe on the open market. So he can make this difficult, squirm a little bit, not sign the franchise tag. But as long as Aaron Rodgers comes back, which is still the sentiment of most people around the league, Adams will eventually be a Packer as well. And so here we are waiting for Rodgers. It can be both, right? It can be attention-seeking and unselfish.
Don't try and play Switzerland.
It could be both, because I'm all for player leverage. Like, he needs to exercise that. It's true that Jordan Love 2 years ago was drafted by the Packers in the first round. And it is also true that Aaron Rodgers was not overly happy about that. So it is true that 2 years later, he is making that incredibly difficult on the Packers right now, making them sweat, which they are, by the way.
Of course they are. Neek, really quick here. If we find out that Devontae Adams is franchise tagged, how do you think that impacts Rodgers? Does it at all?
I think it does, but I think most importantly, I think it's very selfish of the Packers to franchise tag Devontae Adams. Like, the man's working really hard. He wants a big contract. Stop being selfish and franchise that man. Give him a contract. But I think the most important question we have out of this that is for Dan is Friends good? I've never watched it either. Do I need to pick that up?
I'm not gonna lie. I saw one episode. I laughed like 8 times. It was funny. It's stupid funny, but it was funny, bro.
Right. We've never seen Friends. Are we kidding? All right, first take, top of the hour. They're asking which team is more likely to go to the finals, the Nets or the Celtics? Plus, are the Warriors still a legit title threat? It doesn't look like it. Find out. Stephen A., Molly, and Kendrick Perkins coming up next on First Take. Stop doing that.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Check out a few of our featured events on ESPN Plus this week. Big Poppy meets, speaks with some of baseball's greats. We've got the coverage of the Players' Championship from TPC Sawgrass. Hockey, Golden Knights taking on the Sabres, and then UFC Fight Night is Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern. It's all coming your way on ESPN Plus. Meanwhile, on planet Earth, check out this little dude. Look at those dance moves. Just show it off, the moves.
That's a quadruple pump. That's
and
a quadruple
nobody's watching.
That is domination.
I love this.
Pure domination right there.
We can all use a little of his energy.
That's gonna be me and Dom when Rodgers goes back to the Packers and they keep like Rasul Douglas, Robert Tonyan, and some of those receivers. We're gonna dance like that to Mike T and you, Shay.
Wonderful.
Yes.
I hope there's video of that.
This has been fun.
Thanks for hanging out with us here on
Get Up.
Greeny will be back tomorrow. Check out First Take. It's coming your way next.